And we really like some of these locations that we bought in the acquisition we did in December 23. We haven't touched those locations, even though they're being drilled all around us by two of the biggest operators in Western Canada, are two companies called Tourmaline and Whitecap. They're both drilling all around our land base. So we can see the results they're getting, and they're very impressive. 1 year payback, over 100% IRR in the wells.
Phil Hodge, Pine Cliff Energy, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Andy. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, you're very welcome to talking to all my viewers and listeners. I met Phil in Atlanta. It was last week. Today's the 29th of September. He presented to a group of my friends and myself, a large investment, accredited investment group here. I became very interested in the company, and that's what we'll go into. And I did become an investor. So, full disclosure to all my viewers and listeners, I have skin in the game, but do your own due diligence. This is not advice. Phil, let's talk about Pine Cliff Energies. Let's start with a 30,000-foot view. You are a natural gas company in Alberta. Tell me, just give me the 30,000-foot view on that.
Yeah, Andy, you're right. We're focused in the province of Alberta. We have a little bit of production in the province of Saskatchewan, but all of our assets are in Canada. And as we discussed when we were in Atlanta, this is an exciting time for Canada on the natural gas front because of all the activities that are going on with the LNG coming to Canada for the very first time, and then the data centers. And so Pine Cliff's been was formed 14 years ago. I was employee number one. We've grown from 100 barrels a day to over 21,000 barrels a day, and about 80% of that is natural gas. So we are very heavily weighted natural gas, one of the most heavily weighted natural gas companies in Canada, and definitely the probably the most weighted to the Western Canadian gas price, which is called AECO, which is our version of NYMEX or Henry Hub.
Okay, so thank you. And really, what got me really interested in you guys, number one, is I see natural gas in a world full of inflation and in, a lot of assets have had a good run. Natural gas hasn't, as of yet, really participated in that. And so that really got my attention that you were primarily in natural gas. And also, so talk to me about the underinvestment in natural gas longer term, but also the near term here. I'm very familiar with the trading curve, if you would, of the futures trading curve here. The futures trading curve, which every single natural gas futures trader that I've ever known or talked to, they watch the curve like a hawk. That's showing a, I would say, a dramatic increase going into the end of the year, if not the new year. So talk to me about the curve and why people should be bullish on natural gas and why you're bullish on natural gas and why it's an underappreciated asset.
Yeah, as a former trader, I think you've nailed it. And I don't think everybody watches this, because it's not on everybody's radar. And especially I get there's a bit of opaqueness around the AECO, because AECO is the Alberta natural gas price, and it's not easy to see. You don't see it on your Bloomberg screens so easily. You don't see it updated constantly like you do NYMEX and Henry Hub. So the AECO curve, which you're referring to, has got contango, which is just mean pr prices are higher in the future than they are today, at a steeper curve than I've ever seen in my life. Like it is, we are under a dollar today, gas prices, which is pretty amazing when you see that gas prices are $12 or $14 at different parts of the world. In the United States, it's around $3 US. In Canada right now, it's under a dollar, but in the next few months, the forward curve is rising to closer to $3. And so you have like an over triple of what it's currently at. So it's kind of the worst of time, best of times. I mean, it's been a struggle going to get through Q2 and Q3, which is I think why some of the natural gas names have been, slow to react. We're starting to see some positive in our stock price and our people asking questions about what's coming. Given our high leverage and torque to that increasing natural gas price, that means a lot to our free cash flow. So now we're getting a lot of investors starting to focus on, okay, what are you going to do next year? What's your 2026 numbers? And kind of putting Q2 and Q3 25 almost behind us. Q4 looks like it's going to be a much better quarter than Q2 or Q3, and next year looks like it's going to be a good year.
Yeah. So let's talk about torque here in just a moment, if you don't mind putting a pin in that, because that was probably the most attractive thing that one of the most attractive things that I saw into you. And to all my viewers and listeners, when I buy an asset, torque means basically how the company is going to follow, whether it's an upward trend, or it can be a dramatic, or it could be gradual, or a downward trend. In an asset price. In my mind, Pinecliff Energy had that, but not only that, they had that in spades more than I'd ever seen. Why is that? Why do you have so much torque? Talk to me about that. And then also after that, two questions. Talk to me about 20 going into 26, if that's maintainable, and where do you see natural gas prices being in 26?
Yeah, I mean that torque has always been our des by design. When we started Pinecliff 14 years ago, the goal was to create a dividend-paying company with the focus on natural gas, and that's what we've grown the company to become. We started a dividend in 2022. We've paid over $100 million of dividends in the last 3 years, which is a pretty big number given our entire enterprise value is about $250 million. So that gas torque that as you call it, that's something definitely that we're designed to do. And we know that when gas prices move, it's going to have a dramatic impact on our free cash flow, because we have one of the other features that to Pinecliff that's a bit unique is that we have the lowest production decline of any company in Canada on the public companies. And so therefore, having a less than 10% decline rate means you don't have to spend as much to replace production every year. Therefore, you've got more money for free cash flow when prices are good. We saw this as a perfect example in 2022 when we went from $50 million of debt to $50 million of cash in the bank within 12 months. That's the kind of torque we're talking about, is when gas prices move, our cash flow per share moves very rapidly.
Okay. About that, and I have another question before we get into projections that you can talk about in 26. Why do you have such low depletion rates? And that's another thing I look for when analyzing an energy company, whether that's oil, natural gas. I always want to ask what the de depletion rate is. And then talk to me about growth. Are you looking to add on more wells and that sort of thing to take advantage of the possible spike in natural gas prices?
Yeah, both really good questions. I think that the having pr the production decline numbers are a very important number anytime you're looking at any oil and gas company. And just for those of you who are listening, maybe don't do a lot of oil and gas investing, every oil and gas asset has a natural production decline. So it's just a matter of what percent. In other words, if they do nothing with their assets, their production is going to be that much lower by the end of the year because they're producing it, but it's a declining asset unless you're going to drill to replace it or go do acquisitions. Pinecliff generally has done it by acquisitions. We did about 16, 17 acquisitions over the last 14 years. The last one we did was in the December 23, and that was one of our most, probably our most strategic. We did a $106 million acquisition, didn't issue any stock. We haven't issued any stock in 6 years. We did that just with cash and with debt, we want to make sure our debt was always under 2x debt to cash flow, and so we've continued to pay it down. Today it's about 1.5.
Let me interrupt you, Phil. Think about that, all my viewers and listeners. Correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, you just said you have not issued any new stock in 6 years, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so if a company's not issuing, that does pose a question, but think about it, guys. Your shares are not going to be depleted, more than likely. It's
Yeah.
not a depleting asset. But then how do you grow then, Phil?
Right. We do it with cash flow. Now I don't want the viewers to make sure we have issued stock in the past. We've been doing this for 14 years. So if an
Sure.
acquisition comes along that we think will make the shares more valuable,
Sure.
even after issuing shares, we're interested. It's a very unique company, and I've been an investor for decades. What we really have built is like a private company that happens to be public. We've got very big shareholders, including myself and including management, including some other insiders. And the reason is we really focus everything on a per share. I know that's a bit of a cliche you hear from management teams. You can go back and look at all the deals we've done in the last 14 years. You will see that every deal was accretive, every single one of them. And in every one of them, we have built the company stronger and to generate more free cash flow. That's our number one goal when we look at acquisitions, is free cash flow. So it's not it is possible that we'll do a deal sometime in 26 that's going to have that may have shares going out. But I assure you, if that's happening, we believe on it that the cash flow per share is going to be stronger even after such an issuance. But we haven't, to date, we've been able to do it without having to issue stock over the last 6 years.
Yeah, and to all my viewers and listeners, that's one of the ways, that's one of the many ways you can get so much torque is with a limited amount of shares, if you would, relative to the price of natural gas. Talk to me again about yeah, your acquisition, why you have such a low depletion rate, if you would.
Yep.
Work that out a little bit more for me. I interrupted you, but work that a little bit out for
So
me.
the initial first 8 years of our existence, almost all our acquisitions were low decline assets. How do you get low decline assets? You buy older assets where the flush production has already come off. Every time you drill a well, you get very flush production. And today, in today's environment, those flush production numbers are unbelievably impressive because you're using multi-stage fracking and there's horizontal drilling. And so these wells come on really hard. However, in many of the cases, those wells are declining anywhere from 60 to 80% in the first year. So that's why, because you're having so much flush production coming on, we haven't drilled a well in 18 months. Highly unusual for an oil and gas company. The reason we haven't is we have a really low decline. We weren't forced to be drilling to replace production. And we just didn't feel it was right to bring on flush production into a depressed gas price environment. Now, we just talked about how gas prices are improving. We expect to get back to the drill bit here, if not in Q4, in Q1. Our plan right now is to do it in Q4.
If I can comment on that, so to all my viewers and listeners, again, this is another reason why Pinecliff check the boxes. This is really a management strategic move here. Okay, why bring on new wells? Correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, when the price of natural gas is low. It
Correct.
doesn't make any sense.
No.
Number two is you're absolutely right. I cut my teeth really in oil. If you would, and you get when you drill a well, that's where you get, I don't want to say most of your production, but that's where you get a significant part of your production, and then your production comes down significantly, and then it eases off. And you typically, correct me if I'm wrong, in an oil well, you get a good well give you a decline rate of about 3%, probably after the three year, 3 to 5% after the third or fourth year here. But what I like about this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, is you're waiting to get a higher natural gas price to get that flush that will be more bottom line into the company. And you have enough cash flow with your old wells to wait out the current, for lack of a better word, storm, in the natural gas prices, correct?
Yeah, I mean the fact that we've been able to continue our dividend, and we kind of treat the dividend as a flexible dividend. We've raised it twice, we've lowered it twice. Our view is that the dividend, we want to keep that going forward. Hopefully, get to the point where we can start raising it again. But we're not gonna, we weren't aren't gonna do it with debt. We lowered the dividend in March of this year, and the reason we did that is two reasons. One is we wanted to free up some cash to be able to go back to drilling. We had a plan to get back to drilling by the fourth quarter. You could see the forward curves are going to be much better next year. And two, we really weren't going to want to keep the debt. We didn't want to use debt for the dividend. That's just our view. Not everyone has that view. Some companies continue to pay their dividend using debt. From our standpoint, we didn't think that was a sustainable position we wanted to be in. And we really really like some of these locations that we bought in the acquisition we did in December 23. We haven't touched those locations, even though they're being drilled all around us by two of the biggest operators in Western Canada, are two companies called Tourmaline and Whitecap. They're both drilling all around our land base. So we can see the results they're getting, and they're very impressive. 1 year payback, over 100% IRR on the wells. So these are wells that should be drilled. But again, we'll wait until the pricing's even better, and therefore the payback even comes down even lower with higher gas prices. And so those are the ones we're excited to get to. We've got about 18 of those, 19 of those locations, and the NPV on each one of those wells is like $10 million a well. So we've got like $190 million of locations that we now want to start getting to, and that's something that'll be new to the market because we haven't drilled any of those wells yet.
Got it. So, really, this is the case of just being patient strategically for a better natural gas price. And then what we see here, again, in the futures market, the curve, as we, and I can't hammer that enough, the future is telling us that we're going to have higher natural gas prices. I say that as a former futures trader here. So,
Yes.
talk to me a little bit about the plan here going into 26. You mentioned it briefly, but work that out a little bit more for me. We're going to be adding on new wells. You're going to benefit from hopefully what the future is telling us, a higher natural gas prices. But work all that about to me. What should investors expect in 26?
Yeah, it was a much busier summer than I was anticipating it. Part of it was having to deal with kind of the lower gas prices. So we make a lot of operational decisions on a weekly basis as to if it doesn't make sense to have production flowing, then we shut in production. So we've had to make decisions like that. Getting ready for the increase in gas prices that we've been talking about. One is to get our drill program up and ready to go. So that means getting wells licensed and getting locations chosen and talking to the landowners, starting to talk to the service providers so that we make sure we got access to rigs and to fracking crews. So all of that's been going on. At the same time, we've been looking at both acquisitions and dispositions because we've now have a pretty extensive inventory of land. We have over 2 million acres that we own or lease. And so there's been groups approaching us about buying some non-core assets from us. And we've been talking to other companies about adding to our core positions. So those are activities that have been going on. The last one I would mention is we made an announcement in the first quarter of this year. I believe we're the only Canadian natural gas company that's made one of these announcements is that we're working with the data center development group, and they would like to build data centers on our land. And these really low decline dry gas assets are perfect for that application because they want to literally come onto our land, put the data center right on our land, put the engines, the power facilities right on our land, and therefore we just give the gas to them. And so that will be, we're pretty excited about that potential because we think we've got multiple sites that would be applied for that. So that's something we're working on. So Q4 is going to be a really busy time. We're hoping to start drilling in Q4. But again, it'll depend on gas prices. If gas prices, if that forward curve shifts a little bit further into 26, then we'll wait. As you said, I mean, Andy, it's a unique position. Because of the low decline, because of the high insider ownership, and because of just who our shareholders are, we just don't feel we have to make decisions based upon what the market wants. We really make decisions on what we think is best for our shareholders.
Okay. Now you talked about drilling here. Is your drilling program, is it fully funded, or are you going to have to issue more debt to do that?
I mean, right now it's a Q2 and Q3 have been challenging on the natural gas side. So we're hoping it's going to be fully funded. We continue to watch it very closely. But right now, that's our plan. And again, it could depend on what some of these other activities we have ongoing. If we were to do a non-core asset disposition, then that will help insulate us from these weaker prices. Prices can rise quicker than what we, Q4 is, we're just finishing up here on Q3. So it's tough to say what the next few months are going to be for prices. I mean, forward curve would indicate that it's going to get better. That could accelerate. It might decelerate. I mean, LNG Canada, how fast it ramps up is a big deal in Western Canada. For your, especially the US listeners, all of Canada only makes about 18 or 19 BCF a day. These new facilities that are coming on, these new LNG facilities, the very first one, LNG Canada, when it's fully operational, which is expected by Q1 of next year, is going to be 2 BCF a day. So more
Wow.
than 10% of all the production in Canada was going to be leaving from one facility. And there's multiple facilities being built right now. So the United States has led the way on how to build out LNG. They've gone from 0 to 17 BCF a day since 2016. But it's on a base of 105 BCF a day of production. So it's still very relevant. Every time an LNG facility comes on, that's a positive for every natural gas producer in North America, period. No matter where that LNG facility is being built, because it just takes gas off the supply system. But we're seeing a rapid build-out in both the US and Canada. The US is going to go to over 25 BCF a day over the next few years. Canada hopefully is going to ramp up to over 6 BCF a day in the next few years. These are big numbers when you're talking about that production base. This is why I'm continuing to buy more Pine Cliff. And I'm glad, Andy, you've joined the bandwagon. I think we're gonna have a good ride ahead of us.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about share structure. Let's talk about cash in the bank, and then let's talk about how much shares you have, or what you can tell me, what skin you have in the game, and any institutional institutional investors that are invested in Pinecliff?
So we've got about 358 million shares outstanding. There's no warrants at all, or convertible debentures or anything like that. We do have
Let me
some.
interrupt you.
Yep.
Let me interrupt you. To all my viewers and listeners, that's a big deal. So that's a big deal, right? That's one of the. I won't go into the weeds about looking at where warrants and options are written, but if none or few or none are written, that's very bullish in my mind for the stock. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, it is a good point, and it's something we've always believed here at Pinecliff. I mean, the only options we've grant is to just the employees, and they're at their marked at price at market price, so there's no discount on those. We've got the biggest our biggest shareholder is one of the biggest pension funds in Canada. It's a group called Alberta Investment Management Co. It's called AIMCo. They manage about $180 billion, and they own over 10% of us. A gentleman by the name of George Fink, who is my chairman for 14 years, him and myself together own about 10% of the stock. So I personally own about a little over 3% of the stock, about myself and my family, about 12 million shares. I've never sold a share. George has never sold a share. AIMCo's never sold a share. You can see, check our insider trading reports, and you'll see that we've all been buyers and continue to be buyers. And I was a buyer as recently as a week ago. And then behind that, there's still some really big shareholders. We got one individual that owns about 35 million shares, so just under 10%. We've got multiple investors that own over 10 million shares. So it's a again a unique kind of story. The private company mentality is very much in our heads. I mean, we're not growing just to grow. We have grown, and I think quite impressively over the last 14 years, but it's just only on the per share basis. We could have been a lot bigger if we just want to get bigger, but that's never been the goal.
Got it. How much cash do you have in the bank here? And I asked that question because I want to make sure you can be fully funded, or you're close to be fully funded, and also to weather that you're not going to BK, to be frank with you, that you're going to weather any storm out there. So.
Well, I'll hand it over to my chief financial officer, Chris Zack, to talk about kind of where we are in the balance sheet right now.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. So we don't actually keep cash on the balance sheet per se. I mean, we did back in 2022 when we went from $50 million of debt to $50 million of cash in a year. But we did use that cash to help fund an acquisition. So now we have fairly manageable debt. So we have about 40 at the end of the June, we had about 40 $43 million of term debt outstanding. And then we have a $15 million demand facility, which was drawn at around $5.5 million at the end of the second quarter. So we manage our working capital needs within the context of that demand facility, while constantly paying down our debt. So we have scheduled amortization payments that we make on our term facility. We recently extended that out to 2028. So we'll have some runway with our term facility that way. But we're oftentimes looking to see if in a more bullish environment, if we can actually accelerate some of that debt repayment as well. So we do have the ability between now and 2028 to pay that down faster. But we do manage our cash flows from month to month within the confines of the working capital facility that we have today.
Got it. So, Chris, talk to me. What is usually a typical expectation and goal to pay down? Again, I'm writing notes here, $43 million in debt. What would be an expectation? Again, assuming that natural gas prices go to a more, I would say, historical average level.
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's so obviously so we our scheduled amortization payments are about $4 million a year, roughly. And I think if we got to a point where we had surplus cash flow over and above what we had planned to spend in any given budget, I think we would look at what the best way to allocate that would be for shareholders, right? And it could be debt repayment. It might also be additional development within the context of our existing assets. And it might also be, as Phil's mentioned before, we're always looking at strategic opportunities within the market. So how we decide to allocate that incremental free cash flow when we get it's going to be whatever is the best per share value for our shareholders.
Got it. Phil, anything to go back to you? Is there anything that you can comment on that investors should be aware of now to the end of the year, or even you can take that out maybe 6 to 9 months out, that you can comment on the news that's going to be hitting, or even and you're not going to tell us what acquisitions you're going to make. I totally get that, but but I'm going to ask you anyways. Any properties to or companies to acquire? And I think that is an important point because there's a saying, buy straw hats in winter. And right now it's been a we've gone through a winter in natural gas, and it'd be a great time for stronger companies to purchase attractive assets. Anything you can comment on?
Well, what I can comment on, and is we have, I don't know if there's ever been a time, and like I said, we're now, it's been over 14 years that I've been CEO of Pinecliff, that we haven't been looking at assets. We're always, like literally, and that's no exaggeration. I don't know if there's ever been a time where we're not looking at something. We may not, we may be just very high level, or we might be deep into a data room and working up a letter of intent. So it ranges across the board. I think we're going to see more consolidation. I think that's a trend that we're seeing in the US and in Canada. And that's a good thing for companies like us because when these big companies come together for consolidation, they often it creates non-core asset sales happening, and that's where we've really excelled in getting we've done we did a $185 million acquisition from ConocoPhillips. We've done a couple hundred million dollar acquisitions over the years from different groups when they needed to create get liquidity. So we try to stay very nimble on those, and so we're always looking at those things. We've got, I think that our goal is to continue to grow. The one lever that we have now, and I can say this having been here for 14 years, we have never had this kind of drilling inventory. So our growth doesn't necessarily have to come just from acquisitions. Whereas over the last 13 years, it has. It's been we haven't had this kind of inventory that we're now looking at. So that'll be a capital allocation. To me, that's the key phrase when you look at Pinecliff and you look at kind of going forward. A lot of you'll see it if you go to our presentation on our website. You'll see the kind of there's a slide in there about showing what one analyst they show all the oil and gas names, both sorry, all the gas names in both Canada and the US. We have the highest torque to natural gas and therefore are going to have the highest free cash flow. The next question you should ask is what you're asking. What are you going to do with that free cash flow? How are you going to allocate it? For us, we'll continue to pay down debt. We'd like to get the debt under 1x debt to cash flow, not because 1.5 causes me any, I don't lose any sleep on it. It's because it makes us more nimble to do an acquisition. We get the debt down, it allows us to move fast on things. And that's been very fortunate for us. It's proved to be a good strategy because you don't want to be subject to financing or have to, who knows what the market's at that time. And you have to issue stock. It may be a horrible time to issue stock. So you'd like to be able to have the ability to be able to move fast without having to use the capital markets. So we'll move our debt down. I think we want to get back to drilling. We've got to show the market this inventory that we're so excited about that we've done nothing with since we bought it 18, over 18 months ago. So that's pretty positive. And then, if we could get a chance to start moving the dividend back up, that's definitely the goal. The goal has always been to give money back to shareholders. And in our model, we like the dividend model. We think that's the best way. And I know, it's worked out really well. The one lesson I've learned over the last 15 years is that don't try to be everything to everybody. I mean, we focus very much on why I like to be a shareholder. And there's enough other people out there who kind of agree with that mentality. Really, this story resonates really well with high net worth retail, family offices, just the way, because of the insider ownership and because of the way we build the business. And we've got, you can look at our credibility. We're not saying, trust us, this is what we're going to do. You can see what we've done for close to 15 years.
Real quick, and we'll end on this. Talk to me about why do you have such a high torque? You mentioned to me in Atlanta, I would say it's primarily about your hedges, if you would, the relative your exposure really, and just really the spot market. But talk to me, talk to me why, and talk to me about your hedges.
It's a combination as to why we have such strong part of it is, and you've touched on each one of them. One is we're 80% of our production is natural gas. So that's number one. We've got almost all our productions in the province of Alberta, a little bit Saskatchewan. So that's why the Alberta price has such a big impact. And we haven't entered into a lot of, we have 10% of our production goes to a Dawn market, which is a Eastern market, which is a bit is more correlated to NYMEX Henry Hub. But the bulk of our production like is very much remains in Western Canada. And so that's where that torque comes from. A lot of other companies venture into long-term hedging agreements or take-or-pay contracts to move their gas off. We are heavily hedged for Q3 of this year. We anticipated that it could be a difficult summer in as LNG Canada ramps up, but we're much less hedged for going into 26. Right now we'd be like roughly 30%, I think, Chris, on the for 26 hedge. So we that exposure that you're talking about, we've left that exposure for a time when we think gas prices are going to get a lot stronger.
Got it. No, I'm sorry, Phil. If people want to do business with you, if they want to buy your stock, if they want more information on your company, how do they go about doing that? Give
I
me your
would,
website and your
yeah,
service.
I would highly encourage the website. There's a CEO email sign up that every quarter I put out a note just helping, especially the generalist investors who aren't spending every single day staring at what's going on in natural gas and LNG. That's what Chris and I do. So we put together that quarterly email. So please sign up for that. Pinecliffenergy.com is the website. You'll find a whole bunch of interviews and things we've done in the investor section. And in there, you'll find our presentation, the corporate presentation that you saw, Andy, when I was in Atlanta. It's the exact same presentation we've got in there. And you can see a lot of the themes that we talked about today. You can just flip through the presentation and see them there.
Got it. And you're traded on the TSXV, is that correct? As well as the OTC?
That's correct. TSX is PNE, Pine Cliff. So PNE, and then on the OTC, it's PIFYF. And so we've had pretty deep good volume in both on both exchanges here recently. Again, I think a lot of people are starting to think about natural gas. It's always the fall is, and I've been doing this long enough, the fall is always a time to talk about natural gas because traditionally most of your demand came from the heating. So it's like, how cold the winter is it going to be? And so all that speculation is just starting now as the nights get a little cooler. Added to this, though, is this new huge demand that's coming on from LNG, and you'll see some really good charts in our presentation. But the LNG demand that's happening is very real, and it's ramping up starting in 25 and going for the next 3 years. And so that's a really driver. And then on top of that, you've got this data center story and just how much energy is going to be needed for the data centers, and they need it right away. So the most natural source for that is going to be natural gas. And that's going to impact all the natural gas producers in North America.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And to all my viewers and listeners, this is not advice by any means. Please, I can't tell you enough. Do your own due diligence. I have. And I'm going to say this, I'll leave it with the great Canadian Wayne Gretzky. Said, you really and investing in Warren Buffett taking this model, you want to skate to where the puck is going, not to where the puck is. And it's really my job to all my viewers and listeners, and my job as an investor, I'm looking for value. I'm looking for deep value, and I'm not, but also where the price of things will be in the foreseeable future. And that's what I will tell all of you guys that are viewing and listening, look at deep value where you see value, and then look and just project. You got to project where things will be. And again, it goes back to that other adage, you want to buy straw hats in winter. And that's again why I became an
Andy,
investor.
I couldn't agree more. And then, frankly, one of our biggest investors who I was just talking to last week was buying more. And I asked him why you needed to buy more because he was already over 30 million shares. And he made the exact same point you just said. His point was 18 months ago, Pinecliff was at $1.65 Canadian, and today it's at 65 cents Canadian. And he said the only thing that's changed is natural gas prices have dropped. Natural gas prices are now rising. You guys aren't going to be where you're going to be going forward. So you're right. Go to where the puck's going.
All right. Thank you so much, Phil. Appreciated your time. Love to have you on again. And it's very nice meeting you, Chris. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks,
You bet.
Andy.
Take care.